Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the final episode of Memoirs of a White Guy for 2018. Alright, I just had to build the suspense there. It's not forever. The podcast isn't ending. Alright, you can calm down. I hear you. Alright, what's that? Luke, stop. You can't. What are you doing? What am I going to do to an hour to 45 minutes of my time every Tuesday now? Or Wednesdays, or Thursdays, or whenever you decide to upload this inconsistent wreck of a podcast. What am I going to do with my time? Luke, you can't, I hear you. You can't stop the best podcast on iTunes, Luke. I know. And I'm not stopping the best podcast on iTunes, all right? I'm not stopping the Hamish and Andy podcast. I'm stopping Memoirs of a White Guy. I'm not stopping Joe Rogan, or I'm not stopping the best podcast on iTunes. I'm stopping Memoirs of a White Guy. So don't stress, all right? There's a No, I'm not stopping this podcast either. Here's what's happening, all right? No need to stress, all right? I know there's a lot of you every week, and I appreciate it, and you guys are the legends. I can't thank you enough. You tune in every week to this, to hear my little white problems, to hear me complain about living in the most livable city on Earth, literally voted the last 5 years, all right? If there was ever a country that Memoirs of a White Guy shouldn't exist in, or really should exist in, it's definitely Melbourne, all right? Because I got nothing to complain about, but every goddamn week I find at least 45 minutes of shit to yell about, all right? That takes a special kind of white person. Now, this is the last podcast of 2018, for a good reason. Not because, alright, this isn't a thing where I'm like, oh my god, I'm just so overwhelmed at the moment. I just need to take some time and find myself. No, okay, I just already found myself in America, alright? And I found myself, I was halfway through a pizza and a hot dog and a Diet Coke, and I was like, this is me, alright, this is my, that's when I found myself. This isn't about that. There's actually a very good reason, and it's an exciting reason for you guys. The podcast will not stop for long, don't worry, alright? Yes, the title probably alluded to that I was quitting comedy. No, not at all. Not actually, it couldn't be further from that. The reason, ladies and gentlemen, as to why I've decided to stop the podcast for the rest of the year is I want to upgrade this shit. I want to take this podcast to the next level, alright? It's good. Oh, I said alright again. Fuck. I keep saying I say alright too much. I need to think of a word to replace alright. Alright? Okay, I'll use alright instead of alright. So, I want to step it up, to be honest. I think this podcast could be much bigger than it is. To be honest, this podcast hasn't grown as much as I would have liked it to in the last year and a bit. It's kind of stayed stagnant. Like, it grew heaps in the first year and a half, and then I feel like now people come and go and listen to some episodes, don't listen to some, and I feel like I've been thinking about why, and I was like, is it the content? I was like, no, I'm fucking hilarious. I was like, what is it? I was like, oh, it's a combination of many things. It's a combination of, we have a radio show now, so there's two podcasts people can listen to. Lewis has noticed the same thing, that lots of people now listen to our radio show, and I get that. You only have time in your week for so many white people talking about their problems. So I thank you all for choosing to listen to this one as well. Some people listen to both. That's amazing. The way I've decided to step this up and to bring this podcast, I would say bring this podcast back to life a bit. Not that it's dead. It's just that, like, I was like, what can I do to the podcast? What can I do to my personal podcast, Memoirs of a White Guy, that sets it apart from other shit that I do? Because currently, I feel like people, now that it's a video podcast, that was a step up. Lots of people enjoy watching it on YouTube. And I was like, okay, that's one thing. But I feel like people watch it, and that I do it in the same place. It's just in my lounge room where I film my other videos on YouTube. And I feel like some people just see it as like an hour long video that's just not as good because it's unedited and it's just me talking, and I get that. So I wanted to work out a way to bring in new people, and the way that I've decided to do it is I'm going to take about a month to 6 weeks. I'm not going to say a date yet, but sometime early next year the podcast will be starting. Next year, definitely in January sometime. I'm not going to say it's the start of Jan, maybe mid-Jan. And I'm going to create a podcast space. I'm going to create like a wall that says like, you know, a cool background that might have like memoirs of a white guy in neon or like something like that, or like a huge canvas behind me that says memoirs of a white guy. I want to get proper lighting. I eventually want to get one of those proper microphones that like you might have seen in Joe Rogan and stuff like that. I just pretty much want to upgrade this shit, because I say this podcast has been going for about over 2 years now, and I just feel like it's the only way that this is going to continue growing is if I stop it for a little bit, do it properly, and then come back, relaunch it, and it's going to be huge. So that's what I want to do, and I hope you guys will come back when it, the podcast comes back in January. So yeah, that's the plan. Let me know if you guys have any ideas for the set and stuff behind me. Things like I'll probably have like a little fat bird or like the tambourine. I've got the tambourine right now because I was going to talk about America. But yeah, let me guys know. And also maybe like let me know if you have anything, other ideas for the podcast. One thing I really want to do is people you may have seen, if you watch some of those big American podcasts like H3, they have a producer who can actually Google stuff and then it pops up on the screen live in real time, like a little thing, like, and you can review videos, you can talk about news articles and get them up and stuff. So I'm thinking of really trying to step this podcast into overdrive. I'm also thinking of getting a producer slash editor on board for clips and different stuff like that. And then, and also, there will be a Patreon coming as well to help fund all these ideas. So, because heaps of people have been hitting up for ages about a Patreon, and I've been going, oh, it's not the right time, I need to produce more content. And I was like, well, the reason why I never started a Patreon, sorry, I know this is boring and a bit serious, the podcast will get funny in like 5 minutes. I have so many fucking awesome stories from America that I want to tell you guys. I just wanted to tell you guys this at the start. Just want to have your full attention, just to be up front and be clear. Alright, so I've always had so many ideas and stuff about like when should I start a podcast, a Patreon, that I've been like, no, I don't want to rip people off. Essentially, if I'm gonna be asking for money, or if people are gonna be giving me money, which is very generous, I want to make it worth it for the people. And I've never felt like I've had a content output worthy enough of taking people's money. Except like the only thing I feel like is worth money in the past of my career has been the stand-up shows and the merch and stuff. But now I feel like I can hit a content level now, if I really put my mind to it, that is worthy of having a Patreon. And also now if I upgrade the podcast setup, that's not cheap to do. It's probably going to cost me a few grand. I'm literally changing around my entire bedroom, because the only place I can do it is in my bedroom. I'm moving out all the shit in my bedroom one day and just having a blank bedroom, and then working out where the space to do it is. And I'll probably get rid of my desk, my drawers, and it's really sad. I'm literally turning my bedroom into a podcast studio, and then I'll also just find somewhere to sleep. I'll be like, oh, I'll put the bed there. Like that's all I'm gonna have in my room, is a bed and a podcast studio. That's my plan. That is how committed I am to making this podcast huge. And because that's the thing, I've had a vision for this podcast for years, but never had the finances, the time, or like I guess the resources to do it, or the audience. And now I feel like I've been doing this for a few years now, the comedy and creating an online audience, and I feel like now is the time where it needs to get bigger, and now's the time I can afford. Well, I can't really afford it, but I can afford it, I guess, maybe if I start a Patreon. So yeah, those are all things I'm taking just the podcast off in December. Honestly, don't stress, alright? You're like, oh my god, I won't be able to follow Luke. You'll probably see more of me now. I'm going to be doing more videos on YouTube. I'll be posting more on Instagram. I'll be doing more content. You'll probably now see more of me. Because this podcast, yeah, and also if you want to follow my life and stuff, listen to the radio podcast. I talk about that with Lewis on the radio. So, yeah, that's what's happening. I hope you guys are excited about it as I am. One of the things I really want to do, yeah, is have like a thing where I have a producer. And let me know if you're from Melbourne and have ever wanted to produce content, filming, editing, producing, you want to get experience in that field, send me a resume, luke.kidgel@gmail.com. I've kind of have a plan of how I want to work with someone, but I'm just looking for the right person to get involved with, because it's a big call for me, letting someone into like my business essentially. So yeah, if you want to be involved in that and you think you'd be great for the job, hit me up. That's another thing I want to do. But anyway, I've kind of been like ordering stuff online to getting like big background, and it's already in the works. Before I went away, this hasn't been like a rash decision. This has been something I've been thinking about for about 6 months now. So I'm super pumped about it. This isn't the end of Memoirs of a White Guy. I know it's cheesy, but this is only the beginning. The podcast is going to be huge, because I love a lot of the huge American podcasts and the way they're set up, and they're so successful online. And I feel like podcasting has changed. Like, it used to be when I started just an audio thing. I started in the golden days of podcasting when it was just like only on Apple phones, and now it's like a more of a video thing, which is crazy. So I think this podcast could become massive. I also want to have a soundboard, but that'll be a thing, I guess, maybe with the Patreon we could work towards when I relaunch the podcast. I want to like get a thing like a sound pad so I can just play sound effects live throughout the podcast and I have to edit them in afterwards, because that was so annoying with the fun fact horn. Like, it would just be like, burr, 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 but I'd always forget to go put it in post. Because I hate editing this shit. The whole point of a podcast is supposed to be raw and unedited. And then I was going back and like Googling truck horn. So I want like a sound pad. I want a good microphone. I want it to sound better. People have been emailing me going, oh, I can hear buzzing in the background. I just want to upgrade this shit. So that's the plan. It's going to be coming back early next year. I want you guys to tell every single person in your life about how good this fucking podcast is going to be when it comes back. And yeah, it's going to be bigger and more fun than ever. And I'm going to have so many more content ideas and stuff. And it's honestly going to be great. So that's where I'm at. That's why the podcast this week is called The Last Podcast for now. So, America. I've been gone for a while. Also, before I get into it, sorry about last week's episode. I don't know where the fuck it went. I uploaded it, and apparently, I came back and I checked it, and it never got off processing. So the file was uploaded to like Omni, which is what I use to host the podcast, and it was processing, and then I tried to repost it, then it said error, and then I tried to re-upload it during the week, and I lost the file on my computer, and people are like, oh, this is bullshit, he promised. You think you're pissed off? I stayed back 2 hours after the radio show, all right, the night before I left, which is why I started packing at 2 a.m. when I had a flight at 11, all right? So I was like, I was shitty as well. So now, I don't know where the podcast ever went. So, but guys, it was a very funny podcast. You guys missed a banger. Now, so what I'm going to do today is I've honestly forgotten how I answered your questions. So I'm going to do some questions again today and try and get through as many as possible before this shit goes on hiatus. So it might be a little bit of a longer episode today. We'll see. Now, America. If you didn't know, that's where I've been for the last 2 weeks. Man, it was fun. It was so much fun. It was the first time I'd ever been to a country that wasn't a beach. And here's the thing. I did a lot of cool stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, when you're a tourist, the things that you guys would have seen on Instagram is like, oh, snowing in Central Park, the Hollywood sign, I went to Statue of Liberty, like that stuff's cool and it's fun, but though that wasn't the reason why the trip was great. Like, you know when you go on holiday, and I feel like often the touristy shit is like the worst shit you do. Like, that's probably the least fun I had. I went to look at the Statue of Liberty and I was like, cool, it's still there. Great. I've seen a postcard before. I get it. Like, it's now in front of me. Awesome. Oh, look, Empire State Building. That's tall. Cool. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm just like, yeah. But the shit that, like, I'll remember forever is, like, man, getting drunk in a Irish bar at 3 a.m., stumbling my way home, and getting home at 7 a.m. because I got lost in downtown Manhattan because I didn't know where I was and my phone died. That was hilarious. Shit, like, I saw, oh, okay, these are some of, like, my best memories. All right, I wrote them down because while I was away, so I didn't forget to tell you guys. A high five, Jimmy Fallon. That was awesome. I have a great story from Jimmy Fallon. I told it on the radio, but I don't know. I think it could be a stand-up bit, so I'm going to hold off telling it for now on the podcast. I might tell it when the podcast comes back if I don't make it into a stand-up bit. Or just go listen to the radio show podcast. That's a good story. I performed at the Comic Strip. I got on stage in New York, which was cool. It was like my first ever international gig. Oh, technically not. I've performed in New Zealand before, but that doesn't count. That's just like, you know, I've performed in Middle Earth. That's a fantasy land. New Zealand isn't a country. It's like Australia. It isn't real. So I performed at the Comic Strip, which is the place that Jerry Seinfeld shot his last Netflix special. It was a really cool experience, just seeing what Americans laugh at. And I went there with Joseph Green, past guest of the podcast. And yeah, he killed it. It was great. But okay, here's my favorite memory. So yes, all that stuff's very cool. But homeless sled dog guy. It's the best shit I've ever seen. So I'm in LA. I'm on Hollywood Boulevard. I'm chilling. I'm waiting for my buddy Logan. He's going to get something from his hostel. I'm standing on the street and I'm kind of watching the buskers just do their shit. I'm watching, like, you know, this guy dressed up as Michael Jackson trying to kill it to Billie Jean, but he doesn't have what it takes. He's no MJ, okay? He's like budget MJ who can't dance, which is just, that's just a black guy. I mean, that's what that is, all right? So he's giving it a go. There's a few people crowding him, but everyone at the end of the day is like, hey man, you don't have what it takes. Sorry, I was supposed to airplane mode my shit. All right. Homeless sled dog guy. So I'm watching this guy trying to kill it to Billie Jean unsuccessfully. Then I see a dog tied up against a pole, like a Alaskan sled dog kind of, I don't know what they're called, huskies. It's a husky. I'm so stupid. They're husky, right? It's tied up to a pole. I see this homeless guy with a hoodie on, what are they called? Like a handkerchief. Like, he looks like a Western gunslinger. He's like a handkerchief over his mouth, like he's a robber from Western times. And he kind of looks like he's out of Mad Max. He's completely covered up. It's 25 degrees. Like, it's hot. He's completely covered up. He's got a... It looks like he's about to rob someone or something. And he has a skateboard under his arm and a backpack on. And he walks over to the dog. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to steal this dog. And then I kind of got halfway... He got halfway through untying the dog from the pole. And I was like, oh no, this is homeless guy's dog. And what he did next was one of the best things I've ever seen, and it would only ever happen on Hollywood Boulevard. If you guys aren't familiar with Hollywood Boulevard, it's the surfers paradise of Australia. You know that gross bit on the Gold Coast where there's like Ripley's, Believe It or Not, Macca's, strip clubs, and you walk through there, and even if you don't touch anything, you still want to wash afterwards. You're like, just because you were in the vicinity of the Gold Coast, you're like, oh, I just want to have a shower for a week. It's like that, but on roids. There's 3 wax museums, a Ripley's, Believe It or Not. No joke, 4 Starbuckses on the one street. 4. That's, what? That's too many coffees. But you got it, to feed America, all right, you got to have that many. There's a Macca's. It's what you name it, they got it. It's neon, there's people everywhere, there's SoundCloud rappers trying to throw their mixtape at ya. Oh, that was another thing. I went full LA on some dude. All these rappers stand on the street there, it doesn't really happen in Australia, and they hand out their mixtapes, but the problem is, if you take it, then they try and charge you money for it. They're like, man, take this. And then you take it. It happened to my friend. He's an idiot. He took it. I'm not that stupid. Like, I'm dumb, but I'm not taking a SoundCloud rapper's mixtape dumb. That's next level dumb. He took it, and then I walked away. It was my mate Logan, right? We're in Times Square. It was the first time it happened. This guy's like, hey, boys, it's free, free. He just was yelling the word free, free. And I just was like, nah, man, and I kept walking. And Logan goes, but dude, it's free. And I was like, you don't even know what it is. You just heard the word free and you're suddenly interested. There is nothing this guy has for free that I want. There's nothing. All right? He could be like, blowjob. And I'd be like, no, thank you. Free. Whatever. Like, what? He's like he's just going to give us like a Nintendo Switch just on the spot. No catch. All right? This is not a guy handing out lotto tickets. All right? With winning numbers on them. So Logan stops, and I was like, oh, fuck, you never stop. You always keep walking. When someone tries to fly something, you go, sorry, I'm gay, and then you keep walking, right? Oh, sorry, I'm pregnant. Oh, sorry, I'm a fish, and you keep walking. Logan stops, so I was like, shit. So I kept walking. I was waiting about 15 minutes away. No joke. 5 minutes later, after talking to him, I'm kind of watching the conversation, but also tuning out because there's so much shit to look at Times Square. I'm like, ooh, capitalism. There's just, like, advertisements everywhere. And then that's like the whitest place I've ever been, by the way. It was so bad. Anyway, so Logan comes back 5 minutes later from talking to this SoundCloud rapper, and he goes, oh man, I can't believe what I just did. I was like, what'd you do? He's like, I just gave that guy $10. I was like, fucking why? Why did you give a stranger $10? He's like, oh man, he gave me his mixtape, then he told me how hard he worked on it, and he's got this new EP coming out, and then like, the next thing I know, I had my wallet open, and then he saw a 20, and he asked for 20, so I gave him 10, and I was like, oh, man, oh, dude, he's such a pushover, he's from Geelong, and then, like, so he just doesn't know how to, like, deal with people, he doesn't know how to say no, he's just too nice. I'm, like, the opposite, I'm just an asshole to people. Like, someone's like, give me $10, I'll be like, you can shove this $10 so far up your ass that it comes out of your mouth like an ATM, and I'll get it back, thank you very much. Go fuck yourself. Keep walking. Right? That's what I'm like. But he's the complete opposite. So then he was like to me, Logan, he's such a cutie. He was like to me, he's one of my mates from stand-up, right? And he was like to me, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm going to stop being a pushover, man. This is it. America's changed me, dude. I'm going to stop being a pushover. So we're walking down the street like half an hour later, and some guy tries to fly us into like a comedy club or something. And he's like, boys, you want some comedy tonight? And I was like, I was being polite. I was like, no, thanks, man. And I kept walking. And Logan just goes, no, no, we don't. We don't want it. And then the guy like freaked out. The guy's like, what? And he goes to me, he's like, what's wrong with your friend? And I was like, fuck, I don't know, but I love it. Because before he just gave $10 to a SoundCloud rapper, man. So he's kind of just taking it out on you now. And he's like, oh yeah, I get that. That's fair enough. And the dude was cool about it. But oh, it was so funny. Oh man, Logan, my mate Logan, you might have seen him on my Instagram if you've been following my trip. He's just so funny, man. We're in LA on Venice Beach, and he just comes out with stuff like every 10 minutes. That's just amazing. He would just be like in his own little world, and then me and Joseph were just walking and talking, and then he goes, man, the sky here in LA is so confusing. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, like LA sky, like when you look up, it's so much different. And I'm like, you know that we all have the same sky, yeah? Like, when we see the moon, we see the same moon that everyone else sees. Oh, my God. And he's like, what? Oh, it was so good. Every day, we just come out with a banger. Anyway, so I'm in LA. I'm in the worst part. Hollywood Boulevard. It stinks like shit. There's trash everywhere. There's superheroes going around trying to take photos. There's homeless sled guy. He's untying his husky from the pole. And what he did next was the best shit I've ever seen. I was like, oh, he's either... Okay, this is what I was... Two options. He's gonna go on the footpath, walk his dog and hold his skateboard, or even better, he's gonna hop on his skateboard on the footpath and then make his dog pull him on the skateboard. I was like, this will be amazing. This is Hollywood Boulevard. This is where people's dreams go to die, and they reflect it by how they get around, by what they decide to use as their mode of transportation. He walks out into the middle of the road, which is a busy street. Tour buses, cars. I don't think there's road rules in America. They haven't done that yet. They don't have gun control, and they don't have speed limits. It's very confusing. So he goes out in the middle of the road. He's getting honked. Like, people are just going, this car's stopping at this point and going, burr, burr, burr. And he's yelling, like, because he's got a mask on. He doesn't give a shit. He's got, like, a little bandana over his face, so you can't even identify him. He's got sunnies on. He looks like he's about to rob a bank, but he's got a husky and he's armed with a skateboard and a backpack. And then he gets out into the center of the road, sits down on his skateboard, ties the collar of his dog around the dog's mouth, like pulling at it, so it becomes like a sleigh. The dog's got the reins in his mouth, and then he goes, rah, and whips the dog like lightly. It wasn't like an aggressive whip, but he goes like, rah, and he like whips the reins, and then he just starts sledding down the road up a hill. Not down a hill. The dog starts running. Like, and it's like they've done this before. It's like he just had to duck into the shops. And the dog was like, all right, now back home or to whatever street we live on. And then he just goes, ah. And no joke, he's going 5 kilometers an hour up a hill. Because there's one dog pushing this fully grown adult up a hill on a skateboard. Like it's a little sled. And the cars are just behind him honking the fuck out of him because he's going so slow. And he doesn't give a shit. And the best part was, he went past a cop and I saw the cop laugh. That's how fucked up America is, that they've got so many other problems that a homeless dude sledding up the street slowing down traffic is literally the least of their problems. Because there's probably a shooting happening 2 blocks down the road. The cop just went, lol. Ah, it's bloody Steve again with his dog. It's Sled Dog Steve. And I was watching it, like, just in awe that by the time he went, I went to get my phone to film it and put it on my Instagram, but he's already too far gone, and I just missed the moment. But I'm so glad that I lived the moment and didn't film it on Instagram, because it was one of the best moments I've ever seen. It was truly incredible, and I hope you guys go to Hollywood Boulevard, and maybe you live there and you've seen that guy. If you've seen Sled Dog Steve, let me know, because I want to know his story. I want to know if he even owns a bike or if he just sleds everywhere. He totally just sleds everywhere, man. That was the best shit I saw in the whole 2 weeks. I was like, yeah, Times Square's great, so is the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty, but they got nothing on Sled Dog Steve, because that dude's killing it. And the second best thing I saw was Bejeweled Guy on the plane. I was flying from LA to New York on the way there, and brutal flight, by the way, 22-hour commute from Melbourne to New York. It sucked shit. So, the guy in front of me, through the crack of the seat, when you're on the plane, you can kind of see what the people was watching, like, doing on their in-flight entertainment. As soon as he got on the plane, hadn't even left the tarmac, probably didn't leave the tarmac for 25 minutes, just waiting on the tarmac. He opens up the in-flight entertainment, and it's like he knew exactly what he wanted. Because most people, when they open in-flight entertainment, they'll start browsing for a bit, you know, like, they'll be like, oh, I wonder what movies I could watch. And they spend the first 10 minutes mapping out what they're interested in to watch on the flight. Not this guy. He knew. Qantas, home screen, straight away. Games, puzzle, Bejeweled 2. Clicked on Bejeweled 2 within 10 seconds of sitting down in his seat. And I was like, shit. It caught my attention because I was like, this is a guy who knows what he wants. And I was like, maybe this guy's awesome at Bejeweled. But you would think if you're that much of a pro at Bejeweled, you'd be playing it on an iPad or a phone or some kind of device where it won't lag. Because everyone knows, if you play a game on an in-flight entertainment screen, you're going to cop some lag, alright? I absolutely got lagged the fuck out of when I was playing Plants vs. Zombies on the way home, alright? It wasn't ideal, but, you know, those zombies still got it because I'm a king. But that's not the story. So a guy in front of me, 10 seconds into his seat, he's already started. He's making jewels, he's going ding, he's getting 3 in a row. If you've never played Bejeweled, it's kind of like Candy Crush, but with gems. And what I saw for the next 5.5 hours, ladies and gentlemen, was a man play Bejeweled 2 for 5.5 hours, ladies and gentlemen. 5.5. Think about, what have you done for 5.5 hours? You might have a nap. You might go to school. That's almost a school day. You might have a shift at work that goes for 5 hours. It's not a long shift. It's not a whole day. But it's enough where you, by the end, you're like, I want to leave. Now imagine spending that time in an aeroplane seat just playing Bejeweled. He didn't even have headphones in. He was doing it with the ambience of the plane in the background. He didn't get up to piss once. This dude sat in a chair for almost 6 hours playing Bejeweled 2. The frustrating part was, I fucking watched him play for 6 hours because I couldn't get over it. Like, I was doing other stuff. I was watching movies and stuff. I'd stop, pause my movie and be like, how is this guy still going? Right? It was like the best entertainment I've ever seen. And the problem was, he wasn't even good at Bejeweled. He was like missing some 4 in a row. Like, it was so frustrating. I wanted to like tap him on the shoulder and be like, man, there's 4 in a row there. Why are you doing that 3? Like, it's like you don't even want to get a x2 jam. It's like, what are you doing? You're not gonna get a high score. And it was unbelievable. I couldn't think of anything worse. Honestly. Okay, I probably could. There'd be things that were worse, like stubbing my toe on a door for 5.5 hours. That would be the equivalent in my mind of playing Bejeweled 2. Not that Bejeweled's a bad game, but 5.5 hours of anything bores the shit out of me. I mean, Lord of the Rings went for 3 hours, the extended cut, and that's too long. Too much walking Frodo, alright? Just cut. Cut to when they're at Mordor. It's a lot of... Honestly, it should have just been called the Lord of the Hike. Because those dudes bloody love a mountain trek. Hobbits, don't they? The point is, they went for 3 hours. And by the end, I was like, come on, let's wrap this up. Yep, you shall not pass. Oh, Legolas, shing, boom. Alright, we're done here. But 5.5 hours of one thing? Count me out, son. I don't know if that's me having a short attention span. I don't think it is. But Bejeweled. You try. Download off the App Store tonight. You see how long you can play Bejeweled for. I'll give you 30 minutes max. Oh, I couldn't believe it. It was the best shit I saw, man. What's another thing that happened? Oh, this one pissed me off. So this is on the night. I went out with a buddy of mine. Some of you guys might know who he is. I don't know. He used to be in, like, Big Brother or something. His name's Michael. Michael Beveridge. He does, like, radio. Anyway, we're out at this bar. And he... we're catching up. And he was, like, you know, having a great night. There's a few drinks going. And, you look, we were there pretty late. So, it got a bit rowdy. And he was, like, to me at one point in the night, earlier in the night, he was like, man, like, you're doing so well for your age. Like, I can't believe. Like, what are you? Like, 27 or something? And I was like, no, I'm 22. And he's like, what? You're 22? And I was like, I'm 22 years old. And he's like, nah, man, you're definitely 27. And I was like, nah, I'm pretty sure I'm 22. Like, I mean, I've seen my birth certificate, unless they fuck that up, I'm definitely 22. And he's like, really? And he's like, man, I thought you were like 27, 28, at least 26. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. So then we asked the bartender who we befriended. It was this Irish guy. Everyone, it's so easy to make friends when you're in a foreign country because everyone's fascinated with Australians. People are just like, can't get over that you have an accent, so they just want to speak to you about shit. Like, do you ride a kangaroo? No, we don't ride to school in kangaroos. But you fuck with them and you tell them you do. And so he asked the bartender, he's like, how old do you think this guy is? And the bartender was like he didn't know me from anywhere. No idea. I was like, great, this will prove my point. This guy will be like, oh, 23, 22, like anywhere below 24, because that's what I think I look like. And the bartender goes, 29. And I was like, what? The guy's like, yeah, you're probably 29. And be honest, guys, for those of you maybe who didn't know how old I was, how old did you think I was? 29? What? I didn't fucking moisturize, man. Like, what's going on with my head? I'm trying to work it out. Like, I got a couple of forehead wrinkles maybe when I, like, tighten up. When I grow facial hair, maybe I put on a year or 2 years, you know? I was about 4 days into my trip, 5 days into my trip. I might have had a nice little stubble going. But 29? So it didn't stop there. I was like, nah, this is bullshit. You guys are both wrong. There's no way everyone thinks this. There was about 25 people in the bar by this point at 3 a.m. It was pretty quiet, kind of indie craft bar. Within 20 minutes, we had an entire bar taking bets and arguing about how old I was. Because still, I hadn't told anyone in the bar how old I was. I just kept cracking the shits. So, and also, you have to be 21 to be in a bar in America, right? And I didn't get ID'd once. I'm 22. I didn't get asked for ID once in America. That's like being 19 in Australia and not getting asked for ID. I was like, what the? Because I guess I was hanging out with people that were older than me. So I was, whenever I entered a bar, I was with like older people. So I guess they were like, oh, you must be like their age. But the disrespect, man. The fucking disrespect. It's insane. You let me know throughout the week how old you, if you think, like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I look 27. That sucks, dude. That's so bad for my self-esteem. Because I'll take 24 or 25 even. Because that means I'm like, oh yeah, I don't look like a little kid anymore, I guess. If I look like 28 now, when I get to 28, I'm going to look 90. I'm going to look like an old man with elastic pants, having pills, farting and not realizing it. I'm going to shit myself in a bed and everyone's going to be like, oh, that's sad. I'm 28. Everyone's going to be like, no, he's 90. He's going to die soon. I argued. All right, so there was this gay guy in there, right? And I was like, boom, this guy's going to know, all right? This guy, I was like, walked up to him and was like, sir, how are you? I could tell he was gay. He was being very, he was flaunting. He was one of those just open guys who's like, you what up, sister? And I was like, excuse me. Me and Michael walked up to him. I was like, this guy's my guy. I said to Michael, I was like, okay, everyone else here, they don't know what they're talking about. If this gay guy thinks I'm any older than 25, you win, fine. So I walked up to this guy. I was like, hey, man, you are clearly a man of impeccable taste and style. He was wearing a very nice scarf. And I was like, how old do you think I am? And he goes, your face or your body? And I was like, both. And he goes, all right, give me a spin. So I span around for him. And then he's like, all right, that was just for me. Now. And I was like, man, this dude, he was the best guy. We ended up having beers all night. It was sick. So he's like, and he's looking me up and down. And then he calls over one of his gay friends. He's like, I forget what his gay friend was called. It was probably like, G-Quan, or something like that. It was like, he was like, uh-huh. And he like gestured for his friend. And he's like, what do you think? And then him and his friend are looking me up and down. And they look at each other. It was like they had this conversation inside their head. They looked at each other. And they both went at the same time, 28. And I was like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? Oh, it was so shit. And then Michael's like, suck it. And I was like, oh my God. So guys, I'm 28. I'm an old man. You're watching an old man do a podcast. I was so cut. I was just so mad. Whatever. I'm getting over it, okay? I'm over it. It's so sad, guys. All right. Man, what else do I have to talk about? Oh, dude, there's so much stuff in America. All right? And look, this podcast is going to go for a long time today because it's the last one of the year and I don't want to leave anything. And also, that's another thing why I was really apprehensive about stopping the podcast, because I really want to focus on getting it right and I don't want to like keep promising shit and putting, you know what I mean? You know what I'm like? So I wanted to do it properly and I was like, I'll just stop it and then we'll have a proper relaunch and then it'll be like 2.0. So, yeah, but like that's the thing. The reason why I didn't want to stop it is because I fucking love doing it. This is fun. I'm gonna miss the podcast. Maybe I will do it. No, I gotta stop. All right, I gotta do it properly. Anyway, what else did I have to talk about? Okay. Oh, okay. So on Hollywood Boulevard, right? Oh, by the way, LA sucks. Yeah. Are we all in agreement? People told me that before I went there. All my mates are like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, just New York and LA. And like, oh, why are you going to LA? Like, I'll just go to Disneyland and then leave. I was like, nah, it'll be good. Like, it'll be fun. It'll be good experience. It's all right. Like, I don't want to shit on it if anyone's from there. It's dirty. It's gross. Everyone there, it's a toxic culture. Everyone there wants to be famous. It's too crowded. It's huge. It's hard to get around. It's hot. There's nothing. Look, there's nothing for me there, to be honest. The comedy was amazing. The comedy was phenomenal. I saw all my favorite comedians, like, when I was away. I saw Louis C.K. four times at the Comedy Cellar in New York, which was amazing, from, like, a meter away. Only 90 people in a room. I saw Chris D'Elia twice. He's my favorite comedian. I saw Joe Rogan, Whitney Cummins. Like, so many... Dave Attell. Like, so many people that I've looked up to for years and years. And man, it was so good to just see comedy being done at the highest level. And I was like, oh, that's how you do comedy. But it was amazing. It was really inspiring, and it made me want to throw out every joke I'd ever written and try again. But that's the best part about doing this. You can only get better. So yeah, they're all incredible comedians. It was like watching a masterclass in how to do your job. Which was awesome to watch. So yeah, the comedy store and the Comedy Store in LA was superb. I saw David Spade, I saw, I don't know, so many people, Andrew Santino, you guys might know those people. But anyway, for me, I was in comedy heaven. I was like nerding out every night. It was crazy. I saw probably like the funniest night of comedy. At one point, I was just crying with laughter. I couldn't even laugh anymore. Like, that's how good it was. But yeah, LA, dude, it's just not for me. I don't know. I guess that's the Diamond City in me coming out. I'm like, it's too crowded. I like paddocks. I like tractors. I didn't see a bird in 4 days. You know how weird that is? I only noticed on the third day. I was walking along with Joseph, and I was like, have you seen a bird here? And we're looking around, and I'm like, I can't see a bird. If I walked outside my house now, there'd be a rabbit on my front lawn. No joke. There's rabbits everywhere. There'd be, like, a bird. There'd be, like, probably, like, a snake somewhere. I saw a snake the other day. There's just shit everywhere that's trying to kill you. But it's still, it's like, oh, good on that snake. You go to LA, and it's like, there's a bin, there's a homeless person, and there's a guy dressed as Superman trying to get a photo with you and asking for money afterwards. And that's their wildlife. That's not nature to me. That's the shittest zoo ever. There's no bird. LA would be the worst spot to go fat bird hunting because there ain't no birds. But if there was, they'd be fat as fuck. Because they'd just be an In-N-Out burger all the time, which is amazing, by the way. They get fast food, right, man? In-N-Out burger's the best shit I've ever had. If you're thinking of going to America soon, would highly recommend. But yeah, all the characters, all like the people dressed up in costume. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's just people... They walk around on the street dressed in crappy-ass cheap superhero costumes and try and force tourists to take photos with them, and you're supposed to give them like a $5 tip at the end for one photo. And by the end of this, because we were staying on Hollywood Boulevard because we just made a mistake and we were staying in the shitty bit. So every day when we went out to get breakfast and stuff, which we had to go to Starbucks every morning because that was the only coffee shop that wasn't like a wax museum. We were watching all these superhero people like walk past and do like just they every day. They're out there for 14 hours a day. And by the end of the trip, we had like nicknames for them all. Like we'd be like, oh, there's Hunchback Hulk, or there's like Mexican Mickey. Here's all the nicknames. I wrote them all down. There was Hunchback Hulk because it was a Hulk costume where they forgot to include a neck. The head went down straight to the Hulk body. And he had like a little skivvy up the back because it was only a front mask, so it looked pathetic. So it looked like he had a balaclava on at the back, and then like and a little skivvy that was up and pointing out of you, a little green skivvy. It was so funny. And he was like, the guy was hunched over and he was like trying to take photos with kids. So he was Hunchback Hulk. There was Mexican Mickey because the Mickey Mouse guy kept getting too hot. So he'd walk around an alleyway and we'd always see him take his head off and he'd just be sweating buckets like underneath this Mickey Mouse costume, and it was just this like short Mexican dude who hated himself. There was balding Superman, there were the Elmo twins, there was two Elmos that stood next to each other every day, and I'm like, guys, split up. No kid wants a picture with two Elmos. That'll just blow the kid's mind, because in the kid's head, not only is he like, oh my god, Elmo's real, but he's also like, shit, there's two of them. Elmo has a brother. This makes no sense. I watch Sesame Street all the time. There's only ever one Elmo. these dickheads are trying to not, and they're like, why doesn't anyone want to take a photo of us? Because you're both dressed as fucking Elmo. Split up, go to the each end of the street. But every day they stood together and were like Elmoing about, you know, like Elmo. One of them had a goldfish. It was so funny. But so there was the Elmo twins, there was Balding Superman, there was Creepy Spider-Man. He'd be like, hey, want a photo? It was weird. And there was Bondage Catwoman. It was like the sluttiest Catwoman outfit I've ever seen. Like, I honestly was surprised parents were letting their sons take and daughters take pictures with her. Like, she was like bending over and she had a whip and she was in like this tight black bondage uniform and she like, oh, it was very, very sexual. Like, oh man, every day I'd walk past and be like, oh, it's bondage. Like, we used to like, I mean, that's the thing. You don't want to like objectify a children's kids character, but when you're putting it out there so overtly, and she was like not trying to hide it. Like she at one point, I don't want to be crass and I don't want to be like objectifying, but I saw half her nipple. She just had her nipple, like, and then she like quickly, like she fixed it, but not enough. She fixed it so then there was only a quarter of her nipple sticking out from her cleavage. And I was like, and I just had to look away because I was like, oh, this is too weird. I'm like, what about if she whips me and then I enjoy it? So I was like, I just can't look at Bondage Catwoman anymore. I'm just going to stare at Hunchback Hulk and think of him when I jack off. And I was like, oh yeah, I like the way he fucking hunches next to the children. And there was also Mario the Pimp and Woody. They were like the leaders. And there was Buzz Lightyear that was second in charge. But Mario was, at the end of the day, was handing them out all money, like their bonus tips. So at the end of the day, we'd be around at like 8 p.m. and they'd be packing up for the day. They'd all take their masks off, and Mario would never take his mask off because it's just a guy dressed as Mario. So he was just like, had a little bum bag, and he's like sketchily handing out money, and it was just so funny. It was like watching Mario, Woody, Buzz Lightyear, two Elmos, a bald Superman, Bondage Catwoman, and Hunchback Hulk and Mexican Mickey just do like a 10-way drug deal together every night. By the end of the week, we'd like go, oh, it's almost 8 p.m. Let's go watch Mario the Pimp hand out the cash. So that was like one of the things. That's how bad LA was. We just started amusing ourselves because we were like, fuck, there's nothing else to do here. Let's just like laugh at these childhood characters like handing out money to each other because it was so sketchy. And yeah, man, it was so much fun. It was great 2 weeks. I'm super glad I did it. It was awesome seeing the comedy there. I think I've got some great stories to tell on stage this year. I met a lot of cool people. It was just good. I think, like, I don't know, I spend so much of my time just like immersed in like my career and stuff here, that it was good to just do something that normal people do at my age, which is stay in shitty hostels or hostels overseas, like hang with friends for 2 weeks and see the world. It was great. So yeah, back into it now. I was editing a video before I started this podcast. There'll be a new video up this week and hopefully every week throughout December. I'll answer questions. Also, before I forget, I'm gonna have my Perth shows on sale in like 3 weeks, I think. I think they're already on sale, but I'm not going to start promoting it for like 3 weeks. So yeah, if you want to come see me in Perth in late January, I'm doing 4 nights there at the Fringe Festival. Hit up that shit. Just Google Luke Kidgel Perth, you'll find it. And yeah, that's about it. I'll do heaps of questions now. What I might do, guys, is it was not going to affect you guys. I've got to go to the radio station now for a meeting. I will stop the podcast. And I'll be back in 2.5 seconds to you guys, but about 4 hours for me. And then I'll do the questions later at the radio station. Cool. Alrighty, I'm back. I'm not at the radio station, and it's the next day. How good is it when a 20-minute meeting turns into 4 hours of emails and paperwork? Sick. Alright, and then I have to go to a gig, so that's why the podcast is even later. Alright. Alright, let's do some questions. It's literally been 24 hours since, but to you guys it's been like 1 second, so it's so weird for me to reset and just go back into the podcast. Alright, question number one. This is from Bob Marley. Old Triple M Modern Digital listeners would be fully aware that Bob Marley was a regular contributor to the radio show. I would say of various degrees of quality he would contribute, but lots of quantity. And Bob's a legend, so thank you very much, Bob. Can't fault that enthusiasm. Hey, Luke, how... Hey, Luke, you know how there's those couples that share the same piece of gum as each other? No, no one does that. I love it when people come out with a thing they think is relatable. Like, hey, you know when, like, this happens and you're like, no, that doesn't happen. I'm sure there is a couple out there that swap gum, but there's also couples that shit on each other during sex. So, it doesn't mean it happens regularly. It just means, yeah, okay. So, yeah, there's couples that share the same piece of gum. Cool. That's pretty gross. Do you reckon there's at least one couple out there that picks each other's nose and eats it? Yeah, no shit. And what kind of a question is that? Like, really, I asked you guys for good questions, and you nailed it. Buddy, spot on. Thanks, Bob Marley. Yes, of course, there are couples that pick each other's nose and eat it. Dude, there's probably couples that pick each other's bums and eat it. All right? Pick each other's toes and eat it. Nose? Man, that's some vanilla shit. Who doesn't do that? All right? If you ain't picking, what's the word? Orifices. Is a hole in your body an orifice or an orifice? It's an orifice. Yes, okay. If you ain't picking holes on your partner's body, then you ain't showing love, all right? That's how I show love. All right, Olive, I can't believe that was the first question. Like, I talked up this question so much. Like, man, I'm going to be answering all your questions. It's going to be so sick. Oh, do you reckon couples pick each other's noses, Luke? Anyway, man, love your stuff. Oh, man. All right, this one's a long one. Hi, Luke. For this email, please keep me anonymous. Come up with a creative name for me. All right, well, you seem Italian. I don't know why, so let's go Roberto Giovanni. But it's only to be said as Roberto Giovanni. I've grown up around firearms for most of my life, since my dad owned guns himself. That every now and then he'd take me out and shoot recreationally. Ah, oh, you're a gun nut. I followed suit when I could apply for my CAT A and B firearms license. Boring. No one cares about your license, dude. It's for shotguns and bolt-action rifles, respectively. Oh, so you're a gun nerd as well. You're like, oh, I'm gonna list all these guns and impress Luke. Hey man, I live in Australia, alright? And I think you might too, if I get to the end of the email. So therefore you'd know that no one is impressed with your gun chat. Because here, people don't like to die. And now I own Lever. Okay, cool. It started after I was caught in a debate about gun control and how we've had no mass shootings since Port Arthur, which is false because we've had three. Fucking hell. Whatever, man. I don't care about your gun arguments. This, you know what this dude is? I already know what this email is. This is a gun dude going, take my side, man. I'm right, aren't I? And you know what I say to that? I want to go back to talking about picking bums. I want to go talk about couples shitting on each other. Because that's better than getting in a dumb debate about something I know very little about. Then there are a few other points made, like how we have barely any guns here. Again, false. There's more guns here than before. Okay, there's also more people. You dickhead. Good argument. Alright, you know what? I'm not gonna take your side, man. Because your arguments are shit. He's like, oh, there's more guns in Australia than there were before. Cool, there's twice as many people, you fucking idiot. That's like, oh, there's more trains. Yeah. To keep up with demand. Alright? There's more farms now. And farmers need guns. Therefore, there's definitely more guns here. I hate when, like, people think they're coming in hot with a dope argument. And then, like, me, like the dumbest of all people, can shut it down in 3 seconds. That's when you know that whoever you are arguing with was smarter than you, man. And also, thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Alright, Roberto Giovanni. I fucked up by trying to have a conversation with them about it. No, you fucked up by bringing in terrible points. I don't like describing anyone like that, but the way they mocked me and all the names I was called is far more than deserving. Oh no, he's gonna go on a killing spree. I was likened to school shooters. Oh, that's what I just did. Murderers and other violent criminals. It was disgusting. This shit went for a couple of months before I changed uni. That's no good, man. That's not cool. You know what bothers me about that? I could have a conversation like this. I'm sure like me and Roberto would get along. You know what I mean? He could come in hot at a party with, oh, I like guns and you're wrong. And I'd be like, cool, dude. Do you want a beer? Like, I'm just like, yeah, great. Good on, like, it's nothing wrong with liking guns at all. I didn't give a shit, right? And look, as long as you're not going around shooting up anyone, great. Own a gun, own 10, I don't care. It's just like, it does make me feel safe knowing that like barely anyone in Australia has a gun. You know, I just went to America, and like your whole time you're like walking down the street and you're like, he might have one, so she might too. Oh, that baby might have a gun. Oh, she's pregnant, maybe the fetus does. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot, you feel pretty on edge. But in Australia, you're walking past some dude who's like, you know, looks like he's been spray painting up trains all day. He's got like, you know, he looks like an Oz rapper, and like he's got the bucket hat on, and you're like, he probably only has a knife. Great, I could probably run. So unless he throws it at me, then I'm fucked. But that's what I like about Australia. You do feel safe. But yeah, that sucks that people were calling you a school shooter and stuff when all you like to do is get out there and shoot innocent animals on a weekend. No, he actually didn't say that. He didn't say he went hunting. He said he shoots recreationally. So I have no problem with people shooting at targets. That's good fun. I've never actually shot a gun, but it seems like good fun. During this though, I had a friend visit my house during a routine clean of my guns. Oh yeah, the casual clean. That's such an unlucky time to have someone visit your house. He saw them and became pretty uncomfortable. Yeah, because there was probably some bloke in the back going like, and then like, just wiping it and going, and then like, the door swings open, and the guy swings around with the gun and goes, oh, how you going, boys? And he's pointing the gun at you. He's like, oh, sorry, it's not loaded. The safety wasn't on. Now it is. Sorry about that, fellas. No shit, you'd feel uncomfortable, man. Afterwards, he inevitably told my other uni friends before I left. They would constantly keep me at a distance. I feel like I know people who own guns, and I'm not scared of them. I feel like you're talking about your guns too much. You know why I'm not scared of them? Because they don't talk about their guns. They just happen to own guns. They go shooting at shooting ranges, and then they live the rest of their life like normal. I feel like you're letting this gun thing get into your personal life too much, man. But that's, you know, whatever. It's fine. You know what? Roberto Giovanni, it's fine. Nothing wrong with that. What I'm asking you, Luke, is how do I deal with people who are like this? Oh, like people like me. What do you think? It's like once they find out I'm a licensed gun owner, you say it so proudly. Like the way he types it is just like, once they find out, you could just say, it's like once they find out that I like guns, but you just go, once they find out I'm a licensed gun owner, cool, man, we get it. You know, hey man, I'm a licensed driver as well, but don't want to brag, I do have a license. I also have a pen license as well, got it in grade 3, but you don't hear me fucking bragging about it, do ya? I'm suddenly like a threat to them. I don't go acting like a tosser about it, but I do go emailing podcasts, nor would I ever use them to hurt anyone. I'm always a polite and really chill guy, yet I'm being treated as if I'm a second Martin Bryant. That was one of the school shooters. I hope you're having a good time in the US, my dude. Thanks, man. If you respond, thank you. And I'm sorry this is kind of long. Insert, and then he said from, and then he said insert whatever name you come up with here. From Roberto Giovanni. P.S. You should totally visit a shooting range while you're over there. They're always great fun. Of course they are, Roberto. Here's the thing. How would you deal with people who are like this? What do you think? Man, honestly, I'd say don't talk about it, man. You know, I've early on in comedy, I kind of copped a bit of like, not from my friends and stuff, just from like other people. Like, I was really proud of like what I was doing and stuff. And I was never like, that's the thing. Sometimes I feel like when I talk about my life, it comes off like... This is my experience of, I think, what you're talking about. So indulge me for a second. I think this will have a point in the end. Okay, sometimes when I started comedy and I was really enthusiastic about it, I'd just talk about my day. People would be like, how was your week? And I'd be like, yeah, it was great. And then sometimes in those stories, it would come up where I was hanging out with perhaps, I don't want to call them famous people, but like well-known people of TV and the radio and stuff. You know, I'd be like, oh, you know, like it was great. We had Hamish Blake on the show, blah, blah, blah. Something like that. Like we had all these people, like all these cool people, like, you know. And I guess there was some people who were like, oh, like, all right, mate, like, we get it, like, you know, like, and I wasn't trying to brag, like, I wasn't trying to, like, name drop, because that's not cool anyway. It's not cool to name drop, like, an Australian celebrity. I'm like, I was hanging out with Grant Denyer the other day. Everyone's like, cool, dude, who the fuck is that? yeah, like, it's not cool to, like, name drop. That's the thing, I wasn't trying to, but I guess there were some people who were like, oh, all right, mate, kind of how you're getting it at uni. Like, you talk about your guns, and then people are like, all right, mate, like, whatever, we get it, you own a gun. What I did was just, I was like, oh, I'm just not going to talk about myself, which is fine. Not that I particularly wanted to talk about myself anyway. I don't find it that interesting, but other people do, so I was always asked about it, so then I'd tell them. And then by the end, I was like, oh, you know what, fuck it. I'm not even going to tell people about what I do, because I don't know, like, it rubs some people the wrong way. Like, if I even just talk about what I do during the week, because everyone else has, like, a 9-to-5 job, and I'm like, yeah, I got up, I did a podcast, I went back to bed, I did a video, went to a gig, like, my life's awesome. And it's, sometimes when I tell people about it, that's the thing, I'm living my dream, and I'm sure you are that passionate about guns, right? You seem to be very passionate. It's something you like, so often, if it's just a thing where it's like some things just rub people the wrong way. They go like, oh, all right, mate, because they're not happy, all right, and they just take it out on you. So it's like, I didn't talk about myself anymore. As soon as someone asks me about how I am, I'm like, I'm good, man, what about you? And I just turn the attention on them, because I don't particularly want to talk about what I do, and it avoids situations like this where people are shitting on you for just doing you. So that's my point, is, man, you don't have to talk about your guns. I'm sure there's people out there who you can talk about it with. There's a lot of people who I do talk about my comedy and stuff with. You just got to pick your crowd. Clearly, the people at uni don't give a shit about your guns, man. So stop talking about it. Stop getting in arguments with them. If they say something, just be like, yeah, cool. And everyone's like, you don't have to argue with them. If they go like, oh, we think you're fucked because you own a gun, Just be like, all right, I'll fucking come to your house then. Just threaten them, man. You own a gun. That's what, you know, that's my advice. I was about to say, just walk away and don't let it bother you. But now, you know what, man? Just go all like Hell's Angels on them, dude. All right, yeah, you might end up in prison. All right. A couple of threat. You know what? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you've resolved that problem with the bloody Second Amendment, all right? Dude, just move to Texas, all right? Then people will want to chat to you about the guns. I would say you're living in the wrong country, all right? Maybe move away from Australia and then chat, have some gun chat. Mate, people bloody love guns in America. I was in LA and New York, the two places where there's the least guns, and there were still some people, like, happy to shoot up a joint with you. You know what I mean? And, like, multiple joints. A lot of people in LA happy to shoot up, like, hit up that was a marijuana joke. It wasn't great. But, anyway, move countries. But my real advice would be, dude, don't let that shit bother you, all right? If people, stop getting defensive. Because it's quite a popular opinion here to be anti-gun and pro-gun control, anti-gun. And, yeah, just don't let it get to you, man. It sucks that they're calling you names and stuff, but clearly you triggered them by arguing back. So I would say it's the best way to deal with people. It's like bullying in general, man. Just kill them with kindness. Be like, cool, man, that sucks you feel that way, or whatever. Just leave. Who gives a fuck what people think about you, man? There's 7 billion billion people in the world. Find better friends. That's what I do. If I just, like, meet someone I don't like, I'm just like, oh, goodbye, see ya. There's 7 billion more people in the world I can hang out with except for you. all right, and you just don't hang out with them. Good job you changed unis. All right, then get to the new uni, don't talk about your guns, make friends, and whatever. That would be my advice. Thank you very much for the email, Roberto Giovanni. Good luck to you. I didn't end up hitting up a shooting range in the in America because I didn't want to die. So, yeah, Olive. Hey, Luke. This is from Olive. Sorry, I didn't just say the word Olive. It's a person named Olive. Hey, Luke. Question for the... Because that would have been weird. I just realized for audio listeners. Like, if I was like, oh, Olive. You guys would be like, is Luke eating right now? Is he just snacking in the middle of the podcast? Because that would be disrespectful. I should do that. That's something I would do. Just start snacking. If I'm hungry, man, I'll eat during the podcast. I don't give a fuck. It's free. I don't care. What are you guys going to do? Oh, this is not what we paid for. Bzzz. This is free. All right, if I want a snack during it, fuck it. I'm going to get a snack now. I just ate. But anyway, Olive. This is from Olive. Not the food, the person. Hey, Luke, question for the podcast. What do I do with a gap year? Did you take a gap year? And if so, how did you spend yours? So Olive wants to know if she should take a gap year after high school. I think gap years are a good idea. I wish I'd have taken one, and then I wouldn't currently owe the government $13,000 in HEX debt. If you're from overseas, HEX is how we pay for our uni tuition in Australia. So the way it works is you study and then you don't have to pay for it until you start earning like $55,000 a year or something, and then it starts to come off your payment percentage wise throughout the rest of your life. You pay off your education bill after high school. That's how it works, right? And I did a super expensive course. It was a waste of money. It was a waste of time because I didn't know what I wanted to do out of high school. I did the thing where everyone else was going off to do courses. All my mates were like, oh, I'm going to do this. I want to do this. And then none of them ever finished them. Because, dude, no one... I reckon, like, 10% of people finish the first course they do. Maybe... I reckon it's even lower than that. Like, I know about three of my mates who actually stuck with their course for, like, 3 or 4 years and then graduated. Like, they're only just graduating now. And they're like, oh, yeah, like, I regret that. That's 4 years I'll never get back. I would say... It's really smart to... Because you end up changing courses half the time anyway because you realize you don't want to... Just because you like psychology in high school, it doesn't mean you're going to like doing it at university, and it doesn't mean you want to be a psychologist for the rest of your life just because you had a good time because your teacher, you know, brought in weekly gags or something like that. I feel like people go, oh, I like this in high school. This is what I want to pursue for the rest of my life. And I think it's a good idea to take a gap year after high school if you're thinking about it. I don't want to be the reason as to why you do, but I think it's a thing to consider because it gives you a year to work out what you want to do. And I know a lot of parents are weird about it because that's not what they did back in their day. So they're like, you got to go study because that's what we did and I turned out fine. That's like the older generation kind of coming through and that's what they think. But I think there's nothing wrong. If you've got a bit of money as well, like just travel, see the world, go get woke, all right? Go get woke in India. Go to a music festival in Brazil, you know? Just find yourself. Go drop bloody pingers in Amsterdam. Just do what you need to do to work out what you want to do with the rest of your life. And I think a gap year is one of the best ways to do that. Even if you're just working, just take a working gap year. Just get a like part-time job, work. It'll be great fun. You'll have a bit of money. You can go out and have fun with your friends who are hating themselves while studying. It's great. I did a year of studying straight out of high school, and I regret it. Halfway through that year, I started doing comedy, and it took me 7 months or 8 months after high school to work out what I wanted to do. And then as soon as I started comedy, I was like, ah, this is the rest of my life, and I could not have been happy about it. Or at least I was like, this is what I want the rest of my life to be, and I'm still working my ass off every day to achieve that. I would say, Olive, I didn't take a gap year, but I would recommend it because I learned from my mistakes. I wish I had have, and then I probably would have still worked out that I wanted to do comedy halfway through that year, and then I wouldn't have done that dumbass course for a year. And yeah, cool. All right, this is from Ashley. Hope that answers your question, Olive. Hey, Luke, I love your podcasts. They actually make my week. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much, Ashley. Oh, okay, so this question that Ashley asked has been coming through a lot, and I guess I've been putting it off for a while now, talking about it, just for multiple different reasons, but a lot of people have been freaking messaging me on Instagram about it and stuff. I don't know if it's, apparently it's obvious. I didn't realize it was that obvious. Ashley said, anyway, my question is, I was wondering if you were still with your girlfriend, Emily, as it seems like you haven't mentioned her in a while on the podcast. I don't want to be intrusive, but I was just thinking, it's been a while. I miss you guys doing podcasts together. I love your work. Cheers, Ashley. Yeah, Emily and I are no longer together. We broke up a couple of months ago, but I didn't talk about it just out of respect for her. And I didn't particularly want to talk about it. It was a shitty couple of months. Yeah, so that's, I guess there was a bit where maybe the content fell a bit flat on YouTube. That definitely had something to do with it. But yeah, life goes on. At the end of the day, it wasn't meant to be. And you guys are very kind that, and Emily, that's the thing. Emily and I talked about this stuff before. I kind of after we broke up, we were just like, oh, I was like, do you want me to take down all the podcasts that you're in? Like, and all the stuff online that you might have featured in or whatever, because I was happy to do that, because we started going out when we were really young, like 17, and in high school and stuff. I was still in high school. She didn't know what she signed up to at the time. I didn't know that I was going to be doing all this stuff, so I was like, you know, that's fair. And yeah, she was like, no, leave it up, like, I don't regret, like, anything. It was, you know what I mean? It was, yeah, and she... wanted to thank all you guys for, like, always being cool to her at shows, and yeah, just the like this kind of support and stuff. She's always felt very appreciated, and yeah, there's not a lot to say, to be honest. I don't really know what to say to you guys. I'm sorry to disappoint anyone. Yeah, it was just the thing where at the end of the day, I guess I felt like it wasn't meant to be. I wasn't feeling the same way, but yeah, that's it. That's the thing. I don't know. Nothing to say. That's all I have to say about it. I'm good. I'm all good. The show goes on. The show's been going on for a couple of months right now, and many of you probably didn't even realize. So yeah, I'm sweet. Life's good at the moment. I'm super happy. And yeah, you know what? I realize now, yeah, I feel like it is kind of obvious in hindsight, like just with some of the stories I've just been doing a lot of debatable shit lately. And that's probably like a result of, this happening, I guess. It's like, oh yeah, I went to a stranger's hen's night. Who the fuck does that if they're in a committed relationship? You know what I mean? I feel like I have been doing some pretty like, out there stuff for me, I guess. You know, a spontaneous trip to America probably did seem weird to some people, and I guess now that explains all that shit. But hey man, I'm out here living my best life, and it was great. I had a lot of awesome friends around me at the time, and yeah, I wish Emily all the best, and that's all I have to say. Cool. Move, next question. Hope that answers your question, Ashley. Dean, this is from Dean. Hello, Luke, my name is Dean. Last week at Lewis's Melbourne show, you were talking about Cambridge, I can't speak, during your set, and it really struck a chord with me. You spelled chord wrong, but whatever. I'll be spending 2 months there in December/January. This will also continue for the next 2 summers after that. Whew. Man, you got drawn a real rough hand. How did you get stuck in Canberra for the next 3 summers? Like, you just won the shittest lottery ever. All accommodation, flights to and from Melbourne, and uni fees are going to be paid for by my employer. This sounds great. No, it doesn't, because that's like saying, like, yeah, my flights to hell are paid for, and you're like, oh, sweet, dude, free flight. And you're like, no, wait, where are you going? Hell. Like, oh, where are you going? Canberra. Oh, dude, that's not a good deal. Yeah, I'd rather pay for flights to Darwin. Actually, no, I don't think that's entirely true. I definitely like Canberra better than Darwin. This sounds great, but when you weigh up living in Canberra, is it really worth it? 6 months of living in Canberra for the next 3 years. You can only go to Questacon so many times. I've only ever been to Canberra like twice, I think. So I just don't want to judge the place. I was talking about Canberra. I've got a bit about it in my show next year, about my time in Canberra this year. Canberra's cool. I mean, it's quiet. It's not polluted. It's the air's so good. It's clean. It's very quiet. Again, not a lot happens there, but I don't mind it. Everyone shits on it, and I kind of... It's just like, it's one of those places that's an easy target because nothing happens there. So it's like, oh, Canberra sucks. It's like, yeah, but if you don't want to live in like a hectic city, then it's probably a great place to live. So, yeah, man, it's pretty cold up there. I'll be honest, in the winter, it's very fresh. But you're only going there in summer, so that's fine. I don't know why. I'm assuming your work wants to fly up every summer. But yeah, go for it, man. That would be my advice. I don't know. Does it really... At the end of the day, Dean, I really appreciate the question. I do. And I'll do my best to answer it. But does it really matter what I think? Because I think, no matter what I say, you're just going to either move to Canberra or not. And this may be all a bit of a waste of time. But if you do care what I say, I would say, yeah, go to Canberra for 3 months. You might regret it, but it might be fun. You might meet some new friends. You might meet the love of your life, man. Go for it, Dean. All right, you go get him, son. You go get him, boyfriend. I was going to say girlfriend, but then boyfriend was even weirder. all right, this is from a girl. Because they want me to... Hi, Luke. Call me something else, please. I'd prefer to be anonymous. Oh, all right. What's an Italian girl's name? Let's go. Valentina... Giovanni. This is from Valentina Giovanni. Actually, it should be Valentino Giovanni. Oh, no, Valentino would be the guy name. Valentina Giovanni. Anyway, love the podcast. You're hilarious. Hope America's great. Thank you. So, got a bit of a life conundrum here. Uh-oh. My ex broke up with me in Jan, and I know that was ages ago, but I don't really know how to get over him. I've dated a lot, but I'm still all mopey, even though he got a new girl like a month after we broke up. Want to be like one of those agony aunts in the back of mags and give me some breakup advice? Thanks heaps. No worries. Valentino Giovanni. No, sorry, Valentina. I'm going to say... I just went through a... I'm not saying I didn't get... I did the breaking up. You got broken up with. So it's a bit different. I would say... That sucks. It really does. It was one of the weirdest. It was like the first ever breakup I'd ever had, I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't even know. It was just super weird. That sucks. You don't know how to get over him. Look, I don't have a lot of advice for you right now because I was on the other end of. I've never been broken up with. Maybe like if I had like a girlfriend for like a week in year 7, but that doesn't really count. I've never been broken up with, so I'm not the best person to ask. I'm very sorry, Valentina Giovanni. That sucks. I would say you've tried dating. That sucks. That hasn't worked out. Yeah, sometimes you might still love the... Yeah, fuck, I don't know. I'm really not a good person. This one stumped me. This is like not a hard question. I'm sure every other podcast in Australia would give you great advice about what to do, but I don't know. I'm only like 22, and I spent half my dating life with one person. So, fuck. I would say my advice would be, Valentina Giovanni, I just like saying your name now, go out there, go get them, alright, maybe keep dating, you might meet, don't try, I think that's what the thing that people do, people try and get over someone, just start, throw yourself into a passion, into a hobby, into your work, whatever you love doing outside of that relationship, even when you're in it, throw yourself into something else, and you never know, you might be, when you least expect it, you might meet another person who sweeps you off their feet or sweeps you off your feet, whatever. And I would say don't force it. I think maybe that's where some people go wrong, is they try and get over someone by just going on Tinder and just going and just like getting a motor hand and fucking everything they see. That's not going to make you happy, all right? That's not going to make you... I didn't do that, all right? It's not going to make you happy just getting with every other person you... That's miserable, mate. Like, the thought of casual sex... casual sex is miserable, all right? The thought of that is... It makes me sad, to be honest. And it was a thing that I was like, there's no way in hell I'm doing that. I didn't want to. I didn't feel the need to. Anyway, it's like a weird thing where I think that's the wrong move, trying to move on from someone. Just time heals all wounds. Let it sit, all right? Give it however long you need to get over someone. And I would say just focus on something else. Throw yourself into another passion. That's how I do it, at least. All right. This one's from Jack. Hey, Luke. This one's the last question, I think. This podcast has been going for ages. I'll end it here. This one's a big one. Hey, Luke. I have a quick question for you. What's the meaning of life? Cheers. Have a good one in America. What's the meaning of life? The meaning of life is 42. All right, that's the meaning. Everything equals 42. For example, 21 plus 21. What? 42. 40 plus 1 plus 2 minus 1. 42. I think that's right. I'm going to have to go to a calculator. I don't know. Dude, the meaning of life... You know what it is? Okay, that was my joke answer. You know what I think the meaning of life is? And this is about to get real deep, and I don't want to end the podcast here for the rest of the year, but hey, that's how it's going to end. Be happy. All right? Do whatever. I know that sounds lame and cliche. That I wake up every morning and I'm like, am I happy? And I go, woohoo, tick, and I keep going about my day. That's the meaning of life, I think. Because otherwise, life is scary to think about. I was thinking about it like a few months ago, just like, wow, I was just like by myself one night, and I was like, why are we here? And that's the scariest thought. There's no reason as to why you have to go to work. There's no reason as to why you have to do anything. There's no reason as to why humans populate Earth. There's no reason. It's insane. We're just here because we're here. Have you ever thought about that? There's no... Like, what's the point of anything? What's the point of the universe? Who knows? There's no point. They're all just hanging out. Which is why we invented religion and shit like that and things to believe in. Otherwise, to feel like we're here for a purpose. So you can walk around every day sipping your soy chai latte going, oh, I'm here, I matter. Nah, you are matter, all right? You're just a speck floating around in the universe, all right? But, oh, no, I'm important because I've got a job interview today and blah, blah, blah. Cool. It's really scary. It's depressing to think about, to be honest. So maybe don't do that because then you won't be happy. But I would say, yeah, if you can take anything away, I just enjoy your time. I'm just like, man, I don't know why I'm on this earth. I don't know why anyone's here, but it's fun. I enjoy it. So just be happy, all right? Do whatever to make you happy. Don't care about money. People are focused on like, I've got to get money so I can afford to do this. Huh? Just be happy, all right? If money makes you happy, then great. Go get money. But if just living life, just do whatever the fuck makes you happy. Do an hour and a half long podcast that take you two days to shoot or 2 days to record or whatever. That makes me happy, all right? And that's why I'm doing it. So if listening to podcasts makes you happy like this, keep doing that. Make sure you come back in January though when Memoirs of a White Guy comes back because it's gonna be sick. All right, that is the end of the podcast for the year. Thank you guys so much. I know it's just weird. I don't know why. I feel like we're pretending like, hang on, I'm going to get these Time of Your Life by Green Day up before we end it. Time of Your Life. I feel like, I just want to reiterate, by the way, this isn't the end of the podcast. This isn't the end of Memoirs of a White Guy. It's just like, we'll just have like a month to 6 weeks off. I don't really know how long yet. Just to reiterate, when the podcast comes back, it's going to be huge, bigger than ever. It's going to sound better. There's going to be a full podcast set behind me. I'm spending a lot of money on it. I'm getting proper lighting done. I might be working with a producer. If you know anyone, like, I've got a few people in mind, but hit me up if you think you'd be great for that role. If you live in Melbourne, definitely let me know. It's pretty much just going to be like a new era. I need to up the podcast to, like, that's it. I don't like doing anything half-assed, as I said earlier, I think. And yeah, I want to do this properly. I'm never like, if I do something, I do it properly. So, and I feel like for maybe the last 6 months, I haven't, you know, the podcast has been fine, but I want to up the ante and kind of make this podcast competitive with some of the biggest podcasts in the world. At least production-wise, start there and then build from that. So that's the goal of the podcast. Turn this stupid little thing into something a little bit bigger, and it'd mean the world to me if you stuck around. I'll be doing heaps of videos in the next month. Keep an eye out for when the podcast comes back. Make sure you join the podcast Facebook group, because I'll be keeping you guys updated. It's National Muff Day on December 18th, I think, so we'll have a bloody celebration in there. I'll still be doing content and stuff. That's the thing. This isn't the end of anything. I just want to make that really clear. You're probably going to see more of me now that I'm not doing the podcast or whatever. I'm going to be posting all the time. Follow me on every other social media, YouTube, Facebook. There's heaps of videos. It's just the podcast, because the only reason is that I'm building a studio in my bedroom and I want it to be perfect and I want to do it properly. So I just want to focus on that and not have to, you know, just keep doing the podcast like this, because it's currently bothering me. Because I just don't want to do it half-assed. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I can't wait for it to come back. And before I go, I wanted to say thank you guys so fucking much for an unbelievable year. This year, I feel like I say it every year, it's 2018, easily best year of my life. You know what? Let's do the goals thing. Let's make this a long-ass podcast, all right? If you're still listening to this, thank you so much. You guys are legends. Every year, if you don't know, if you knew, I set goals at the start of every year. And usually I do it on the New Year's Eve podcast. But this year, there won't be one because the podcast will be on a bit of a hiatus. So, goals. I'll look it up in my notes. I don't look at this throughout the year. I literally look at this once a year. The last time I opened this note was on the 10th of January this year. So let's see how I did. I set goals career-wise, if you knew. I set goals in my personal life. And then at the end of every year on the podcast, I just see if I've done it or not. It kind of, it's just a thing that like keeps me in check. And it's just a thing. It's like those time boxes. You know, at school, like at our school once, they buried a 25-year time capsule. And then, like, they, you know, you dig it up and then you're like, oh my God, look at all this cool shit from 25 years ago or whatever. It's like one of those, but it's just I do it every year. And I'm like, oh, cool, that's what I was doing at the start of the year. So these are all like the career ones, I guess. I think they're all career ones, actually. My first goal was at the start of the year was reach 500k on Facebook. That's partly due to me shifting my content towards YouTube. And it's also partly to Facebook kind of dying. No, I didn't even get close. I think I'm still on like 330 or something. So no, didn't do that one. Hey guys, you can't win them all. 50 to 75k on YouTube. And I remember thinking at the time that was a huge goal, because I'm pretty sure I was on like 20k. And I did that. Tick, ding, well done, Luke. I think I'm on 52k on YouTube. So that's very cool. Sell 1,500 people coming to my shows this year, 1,500 tickets, and this one was my biggest goal, and I'm super excited, I achieved that. Over 1,500 of you came to the shows this year. I think it almost was 2,000, so I think I smashed that goal. So thank you guys so much, that means the world. And if you came to a show this year, or if you're thinking about coming next year, hey, get amongst it. It was a lot of fun, it was the best show I've ever done. And man, like, just finishing it off with like those Brisbane and Sydney shows, and that was super unreal, like doing theatres and stuff. That was crazy, because usually I'm doing shitty pubs, and that was very cool. What's this? Add a show. Oh, right, I wanted to add shows. I did, yeah, I added a Canberra show, and I also did, is that the only place I'd never done? Yeah, I think I just added Canberra. So that's cool. I did that goal. I added a place that I'd never toured before. That was a big goal of mine. Next year, man, I'm adding like at least four or five places I've never toured before. So please come. FM radio. Oh shit, yeah, the start of the year, we weren't even on, we were just on digital radio. So boom, tick that goal. We are now on FM radio. That's very cool. And get better at radio, like noticeably better. I'm going to listen to our show this year and cringe. I don't think we did. No, we're definitely better at radio, but we still do the same garbage, but we're just way better at it, if that makes sense. Like, if you ever listen to our Modern Digital show, we used to do a lot of, I mean, we still do. We do, that's the whole show. That's Luke and Lewis. Our show is like, that's what our show is. Our show is, how the fuck do these guys have a show? And that's the show. Like, that'd be our pitch. Like, if we have to come into a radio show, we'd be like, what's your show about? We'd be like, ah, the show is kind of like, why did you give it to us? And that's the whole appeal. And I feel like, yeah, we've gotten noticeably better. I think if you listen to our show, radio show now, as opposed to when we started on Triple M Modern Digital, yes, we still haven't changed the main essence of the show, because that's what it always will be, and I never want that to change. But we're definitely better at doing shit memes. Do a live podcast. Didn't end up doing that this year. That was pretty disappointing. Yeah, I guess the radio and stuff got in the way. Again, the podcast, this is exactly the reason why I want to kind of do a season two, like relaunch it, take five, and then do this properly, because I had all these big plans for the podcast this year, and they kind of didn't get done. So that's the thing that I really want to improve on next year. Do 130 gigs. I think I'm up to like 120 at the moment, and I still have a month, so I'm probably going to get there. And that means that's the most gigs I've ever done in a year, I think. So yeah, 130 gigs, and that's a lot for me, because, you know, A, I live pretty far away from the city. Sorry, I live just around the corner in Diamond City. It means that me doing 130 gigs means that I'm out one of every three nights I'm doing a gig during the year. So on average, it means one out of every three nights. And that's pretty good when you take into account going away for a couple of weeks at a time. Like this year, I've spent a month overseas this year. So you got to minus that. So me, that's almost like... I'm super happy with that, because with juggling a radio show, podcast, online stuff, you know, a relationship and, you know, personal life, then also doing, you know, never want to not perform, because performing is like what I do. I know, like, all you guys see is like the it's all the videos and shit, but at the end of the day, I consider myself a stand-up comedian, and that's what makes me truly happy in the world. Again, going back to the meaning of life, callback. And yeah, that's kind of like what I love doing. So yeah, even though like I'll only tour for, you know, like 100, you know, I might only do like 30 dates on tour or whatever, I'm still doing 100 more kind of spots around the year to get better, to keep improving. So then the next time you guys see me on tour, I've taken it up a level and I'm a way better comedian. I'm pretty happy with that. Stay fit and not let it slip like last year. I did do that this year, except I let it slip in America in the last 2 weeks. But I've already started going for runs again since I've come back. So yeah, that was a goal of mine. I think I achieved that. I got pretty fit this year, and it's good. If you get fit, it means you feel good. And the last goal was to slap a muff to China and back. Man, I slapped a muff to the moon and back this year. I just forgot to tell you guys. That was the thing that happened. You know the cow that jumped over the moon? I strapped a fucking muff to its bell, right? And then I slapped the cow, because it had a muff on it, and I was like, that's a cheeky muff cow, and I went, boom, and then it did a boomerang, like, U-turn around the moon, and it also did bypass China, so I simultaneously achieved my goal whilst also doing it around the moon. So yeah, I slapped a muff to China and back, also strapped it to a cow and did it to the moon. So that's how much I fucking killed it this year, guys, and that's pretty much a metaphor for my entire year. This year has been like fucking... If someone was like, Luke, describe your 2018 in one sentence, I would say it was like strapping a cheeky muffin to the bell of a cow and slapping it out of this fucking world. And that's my 2018. Guys, I'm going to leave the podcast there. Thank you. Sorry, this has been the longest podcast literally ever today. But it's the last one of the year. And if you're still listening, that means the world. All I've got to say is, podcast is going to come back bigger, better than ever. Get all your friends on it. I might be changing the format of it. Think of segments. If there's any other segments you want to come back, let me know. If you guys have ideas for the set, for any segments, any content decisions, anything. If you have any idea for the podcast relaunch, I want to hear it because I do the podcast for you guys. So let me know. Watch out for Perth tickets. They'll be dropping sometime in December. I'm coming to do 4 nights in Perth in late January. Tickets will be dropping when the hiatus is happening, so I'd love it if you got on that. And yeah, guys, enjoy. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. I'll be still posting in the Memoirs of a White Guy Facebook group, keeping you guys up to date with everything, how it's all going. And yeah, have a good rest of the year. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the podcast this year. And I'll see you guys real fucking soon. Wait. I forgot to do Time of Your Life. Sorry. Alright, sorry. Guys, I should have done that whole speech I did before about the muff, like slapping the muff to Green Day. Guys, if I had to describe my year to you... What am I doing? Just end the podcast, you dick. Oh, man. Sorry, it's just the last one. I'm getting very emotional. Nah, I'm not. Look, alright, I'm gonna go now, but you guys get the idea. Alright, enjoy. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. In the end is right. I hope you slap her muff to China and back. I did, guys. I feel like I need to, like, talk about my year really, really deeply. Like, you know, there was the time when a guy heckled me in Canberra about his Nissan Pulsar. There was a time a guy in Sydney, at the Sydney show, talked about watching a guy jack off to a dolphin. Good times we had this year, guys. Alright, okay, that's the end of the episode. Goodbye. See you guys next year.